Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
One day a brother was in a strange part of town and in somewhat of a rush. He needed to get some money from his bank, so he obtained directions to one of its branches, one he had never been to before, however. The brother followed the advice, and sure enough, there was a bank right across the street from the big store he was told to look for. He rushed in and handed over his book and other forms to the smiling teller. "I'm sorry, sir, I can't accept this," she said. "Why not? I'm sure it is all in order. I wrote it out very carefully," he countered. "I'm sure you did, but this is not our bank. The one you want is across the street." Shamefaced, he retreated to the other bank, the right one, which was also across the street from the big store, only on the other side. In a similar way, how many people rush to a God, a small G-O-D, any God, seeking comfort, solace, or salvation, only to find that it is not the God, capital G-O-D, our Heavenly Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. One may rectify going to the wrong bank, and who of us perhaps have not done that? I know I have. But one cannot recover from banking on the wrong God. I want us to think about that today and be aware that the one God, the eternal God, the true God, never fails to keep His word. Stay tuned as we share these important 30 minutes together this morning. Good to have you with us here for Missionary Echoes.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus.
kings and kings.
Kings and kings.
Oh, they'll all pass away.
We'll all pass away.
But there's something.
But there's something.
No other name given among men whereby you must be saved. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me.
Amen.
I was nothing until you found.
Jesus, I praise you that your name has become so meaningful to those who have come to know you as Lord and Master, the one who's forgiven our sins and erased our debt of sin against you, have lifted the burden, the guilt, the weight of sin from our shoulders, as it were, that we're no longer shackled, no longer bound by those things. We praise you today for victory through your precious blood shed on Calvary on the cross on our behalf. We praise your name this morning for the opportunity to be on the air right here in Lebanon and to be ministering into the hearts and lives of each of our listeners today. We're committing this Lord's Day to you. We pray that it'll be a great day of worship, of adoration and praise unto you, that there'll be a renewed commitment to follow you, to be obedient to your commands, to read your word, to follow your word, and to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So bless, we pray, this broadcast, and bless each of our listeners, and bless this day to your honor and glory, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
friends and made me whole. I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Yes, Jesus touched me, and oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something really happened, and now
I hope you know something of the touch of Jesus to your life that David Boyer just sang about. Nothing like the transforming power of Jesus at work in one's life. Well, this is Missionary Echoes, brought to you by the God's Missionary Church, located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. We're thrilled to have you join us today. We're trusting God for a great day of worship. We're about to begin Sunday school, and then the morning and evening services today will be led by the ministry of Union Bible College, and Reverend Phil Horde will be preaching. We're in the midst of a Youth Revive weekend, and we invite you to come out to our services, 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 morning worship, 6 o'clock the evening worship service. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock will be our prayer, praise, and Bible study service, also in the main sanctuary at the church. We are celebrating the opportunities to give financially to a variety of things, not only the faithfulness in tithes and offerings, but in supporting the Navajo Christmas Project that we do each year. And right now we're also raising funds for the Fort Myers Rescue Mission and the efforts to recover from Hurricane Ian there in Florida. And so if you are interested in giving to any of those special funds or contributing to the finances of the church and the ongoing of this radio ministry, feel free to reach out to us. You can send your gifts to God's Missionary Church, 2127 Hill Street, Lebanon, Pennsylvania, 17046, or on the web at lebanongmc.com. There is a gift tab that you can click on and do online giving as well to the church and any of these special things that we're trying to do just now. We also enjoy encouraging one another in the time of their need, whether they've been through surgery or through a difficult time in their life, or they're widowed or sorrowing, whatever their situation might be. This week, we're thinking especially of Elizabeth Brightbill, Kathy Schaefer, ones that we want to encourage in their journey. Also, Betty Bender, who turns 93 on Saturday, and we celebrate with her. We also think of Darlene Shuey and James Russell and Dwight Habecker, Calvin Clark, Allie Dunkelberger, all of these and probably others having birthdays this week, and we celebrate their birthdays as well. Well, it's always a joy to join you here with Missionary Echoes. Let's get on with the broadcast with some more music and a message from God's Word.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter sweeter he grows, the more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Sing the song.
I speak to you from the 21st chapter of Genesis today. The very first verse says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken." Habakkuk said, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Although he was not speaking of Abraham and Sarah, his words have an application to their lives that also give us encouragement in our times of wavering faith. Many years of disappointment and longing had plagued the life of these two godly people, since the time had long passed when they could expect offspring in the ordinary way. They were thrown entirely upon the strength of their faith. The substance of their hope was their confidence that God would do what he had promised. Many times they may have voiced the prayer uttered by a New Testament father concerning the healing of his child, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." Since both Abraham and Sarah on separate occasions laughed when told a child would be born to them, the baby was appropriately named Isaac, which means laughter. What joy must have come to them when they found their confidence in God, which had been tested by long and anxious waiting, but was justified with the coming of their child. Let us look at the results in the lives of these two people and see some lessons from the events. First of all, God often sends the greatest joy during the darkest hour. The pessimists we have with us always. Take the year of 1809, proclaimed by contemporary historians as the darkest time in the history of mankind. Napoleon was devastating Europe, and one writer predicted that future generations would call 1809 the world's blackest year. Both freedom and social programs seemed doomed. Then, look at the babies that were born that year. Abraham Lincoln, William Gladstone, Alfred Lord Tennyson, Edgar Allan Poe, Oliver Wendell Holmes, Cyrus Hall McCormick, and Felix Mendelssohn. The year was not one of total destruction, was it? Things had looked dark in the Abraham-Sarah household, but Isaac changed all that. The mother's words have been called the first cradle hymn. This is the first of its kind in recorded literature. The occasion's peculiarity justified Sarah's exuberance. Amazement and wonder were the order of the day. The miraculous nature of the event made it the occasion of extraordinary joy. In our own lives, the gifts of God's grace should cause us to say, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Abraham seems to have had the typical reaction of a serious-minded father. He showed sober and thoughtful joy. The mother's, however, was an uncontrollable tide of emotion. Her feeling, too great for many words, showed its humanly natural expression in laughter. Her words, "All that hear will laugh with me," here in verse 6, meant that she could not imagine anyone regarding her happiness with indifference. "Surely everybody is excited about my baby as I am." Sarah's greatest triumph, however, was that she had shown faith in a Creator who was able to perform His word. Although we should never minimize correct doctrine in the life of a believer, we do not read of any detailed creedal statement to which she subscribed. Rather, she anchored her hope and trust in a personal God who would not fail her. Has this not been true of every great and effective child of God in all generations? Our faith exists not because we understand the revelation completely, but because we trust the revealer implicitly. Secondly, we notice today that even the best faith falters. The Bible never fails to give an accurate appraisal of its characters. Sarah was a great woman, but she was not without fault. In facing the issue of Ishmael, she failed miserably. Seeing Ishmael mocking on the day that Isaac was weaned, she realized she could not afford to compromise with the competition. We do not know exactly what Ishmael was doing that upset Sarah so much. We have mixed emotions about Sarah's attitude, but we can certainly identify with her. We understand the resentment, whether we agree with her entirely or not. We should note that the Apostle Paul seems to side with Sarah in his allegory about the two covenants represented by the two children, even stating in Galatians chapter 4 that he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Paul insists that Sarah's command, "Cast out the bondwoman and her son," was an authoritative word of God. The point of this message is not the relationship of Ishmael to God's redemptive program, but rather Sarah's humility in her lack of ability to cope with Ishmael's desire to have the same familial value as her son. Most of us would probably have reacted as she did, and thus we should be charitable in our evaluation of her action. Well, as we've seen first, God often sends the greatest joy during the darkest hour, and that even the best faith falters. Notice thirdly that God's word continues. The remaining material in chapter 20 shows that God had the entire world in mind. Though he seemed to be working only with Abraham and his physical offspring through Sarah, when Hagar and her child seemed doomed to painful starvation in the wilderness, God intervened and not only saved them, but promised the mother that her child would be the father of a great nation. Notice Hagar found a wife for Ishmael from her country of Egypt. Though God blessed Abraham in a significant way, he did not fail to show compassion to Ishmael. News of how God was blessing Abraham reached Abimelech, and he decided he should make peace with this man. A great lesson comes to us at this point. When we conduct ourselves properly and receive God's approval and blessing, the non-religious world respects us and seeks to be our ally. Notice that Abimelech seemed apprehensive about Abraham's success. He did not recognize all the factors involved and certainly did not understand that Abraham had received a special revelation, but seemed to be aware that Abraham possessed some type of relationship that was paying off with material success. He reminded Abraham that on a previous occasion, probably when Abram lied about Sarah and pretended she was his sister, he had shown kindness. Of course, astute businessman that he was, Abraham took advantage of the opportunity to remind Abimelech that his servant had violently taken a water well from him. Abimelech was quick to deny any knowledge of it. In the treaty that followed, Abraham insisted that Abimelech recognize that the well had been dug by Abraham and therefore belonged to him. When they agreed on the terms and planted a tree, Abraham called upon the name of his covenant God, not the deity employed by the larger world. God's redemptive program was now taking shape. The heir had been born, the competition was removed, the neighbors recognized the place of Abraham in the land, and the patriarch bore witness to his unique God who would someday send the world's Redeemer through the family of Abraham. Nothing can stop God's progress. Wise men find out where God is going and align themselves with Him. The God we serve never fails. He has no credibility gap. We can trust ourselves and all that we have to Him. The skeptic who has become cynical never has the final word. God will not fail, nor will He even disappoint. God often sends the greatest joy during the darkest hour. Even the best faith falters, but God's word continues. As verse 1 says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken." Great words from Genesis chapter 21. God never fails to keep His word. Don't you forget that, my friend. Thanks for joining us here on Missionary Echoes today.
So many souls have tested Him throughout the course of time. Still reach out to Him with broken hearts and minds, and every one of them will say, without exception, that they find that Jesus never fails. And even in the days of old, He brought His people through, and then He came to show His love and die for me and you, and then He rose again to prove that every promise had been true, that Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan, you cannot prevail, because Jesus never fails. Sometimes this world brings trouble I find so hard to bear. I know I could not make it without Jesus being there. It's so encouraging to know, however deep we're in despair, that Jesus never fails. So what can I do to prove to you? Tell me, how can you deny? No untold facts, no mysteries, it's all so cut and dry. And on the witness stand of your life, I'll be the first to testify that Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan, you cannot prevail, because Jesus never fails. Thee behind me, Satan, you cannot prevail.